This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear brothers and sisters, our deen talks to us about many of these societal problems that we may face as human beings. And our deen, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also addresses the fact that we as human beings, we may be prone to certain problems that may stem from problems of the heart, or issues of the heart, or diseases of the heart. And there's one issue in particular that I know we may hear about quite often, because it is a theme found in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, in which the Prophet warns us of the dangers of this particular problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions this problem. But the issue, my brothers and sisters, as with many of the sermons that we hear and lectures and reminders that we hear, is that oftentimes we think of other people rather than ourselves. So when we hear a sermon on a certain topic, we think, yes, it's those people, they have that problem, they need to solve that problem. Today, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, what I would request from myself and from you as well, is that as we talk about this issue, we think about ourselves. We think about where we need to make improvements in our lives. And this is a problem, my brothers and sisters, that has become exacerbated in the times that we are living in. And that is the problem of envy and jealousy, of wanting what other people have. And I know by nature, once again, we may hear about envy and jealousy and may think, yeah, other people have that problem, I don't have that problem. Other people have issues, but I don't have that issue. But my brothers and sisters, this is a normal human desire, that when we see things that other people have, we may desire it for ourselves. That when we see things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to other people, that we may think to ourselves, do they really deserve this? Why has Allah given it to them? And as we live in this day and age of information, the day and age of social media and the internet, this problem has become exacerbated, it has become increased, because back in the day, you'd have to meet someone to see what their life is about. You'd have to make human connection. But now, that connection is made through the internet. People post videos and pictures, and our whole lives get documented. We post everything about our lives, every trip that we took, every new purchase that we made, every new relationship, every marriage, every child, everything that happens in our lives gets posted online. For not only our friends and families to see, but in actuality, for the whole world to see. And it is human nature, as I said, that when we see things that other people have, we begin to compare our lives to those lives that we are looking at online. And this problem is a problem, as I mentioned earlier, that is addressed in the Sharia, is addressed in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal refers to this problem as hasad. And I know I mentioned envy and jealousy, but the problem really, if we look at it, as it is addressed by Allah and Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is addressed as hasad. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, that do they have hasad for the people regarding what Allah has given to them from Allah's bounty. Now, hasad, I know oftentimes gets translated as envy and jealousy, that we think to ourselves, I wish I had what this other person has. But hasad has an added dimension to it, and that is the dimension of looking at this person and saying, they don't actually deserve it. They shouldn't have it. I am the one who should have it. And this is associated with feelings of negativity towards the other person that we are viewing. And this is the problem that is described, or one of the problems that has been described in Surah Yusuf with the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They had hasad. They said, our father has given preference to Yusuf alayhi salam over us. Wa nahnu usba. I mean, they said, we are the ones who are a strong group of many. Like, why would our father give preference to Yusuf alayhi salam over us? And then they said, inna abana lafi dhalalin mubin. Our father is gravely mistaken. And so now we begin to learn the nature of hasad, that when we compare ourselves to others and we think, this, Allah has given this person something, that we have to take a moment and ask ourselves, what is causing this feeling? Is it that we truly believe that we are more deserving? Or perhaps when we see goodness and greatness and something good in other people, that perhaps we begin to feel insecure about ourselves. Perhaps we begin to feel that, I don't know if I match up. And when that happens, the natural reaction to that is to try and put the other person down. So how do I make myself feel better? By putting the other person down. If I don't have what they have, then I can't compete on that level. So let me find some faults and problems and issues with them. So you may find someone say, oh, you know, they just bought a brand new house, a big house. But, you know, their children aren't actually that big. You know, they may look like they have a nice big house on the outside and they have a nice car and all that kind of stuff. But actually, I know their children and they have problems with their children. Or we may look at somebody post something online about their relationship. It's normal. It happens. People post, you know, someone got married and they feel good about their marriage and they post about their marriage online. And we may look at that. And now feelings of jealousy and envy may start to fester within us. And how do we deal with those feelings? By saying, well, actually, you know, the person that they married is not even a good person. Or you know what? They have this problem and that problem, because what does that do? It helps us feel better about ourselves. If we were to put other people down, perhaps it will raise our status. Perhaps it will make us feel better about what we have not been given. And we find this very same example in Iblis, the Shaytan, with Adam alayhi salam. In an authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us of what happened when Allah created Adam alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that when Allah fashioned the body, Allah created the body of Adam alayhi salam, that Allah left this body for a certain time. We don't know how long, but for a certain time, Allah left that body. And by the way, as a commentary on that, our scholars say that that was a test, a trial for Iblis, for the shaytan. And so Allah left the body of Adam alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that it is that Iblis began to roam, yatifu bihi, he began to roam around the body. He began to inspect the body. And he began to think, why did Allah create this new being? Because let me just give you some context here. Before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, Iblis, the shaytan, viewed himself to be from the best of Allah's creation with free will. Because there were angels and there were the jinn. The angels, we know, have not been given free will. They've been created to worship and obey Allah. They have no choice in the matter. They don't have to decide to worship Allah. They are created to worship Allah and obey Allah. The jinn, on the other hand, are like us. We have been given the free will. We decide, we choose to do good. We make the choice to pick good over evil. Well, when it was just the jinn, amongst the jinn, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identified Iblis as the best of the jinn. And Allah raised Iblis to live amongst the angels and worship Allah amongst the angels. And so now this happened for a very long time. And now Iblis begins to feel, I'm the best of Allah's creation. Because amongst the jinn, I'm the best because I'm the most obedient to Allah. And this shows us, subhanAllah, that even a person who lives a good and obedient and pious life, that even they can be afflicted with envy and jealousy, and then the outcome of that, arrogance. That sometimes we think that if somebody is religious, somebody outwardly is a good Muslim, they pray 5 times a day, and they fast, and they give charity, and all that kind of stuff, that automatically they are guaranteed Jannah. They're guaranteed paradise. But the reality is, we hear this lesson in the story of Iblis, that if we don't pay attention to what is happening on the inside, the heart, it may cause an effect that may destroy this person's piety. So Iblis viewed himself to be the best of Allah's creation. And this happened for a long time. And then Allah created the body of Adam alayhi salam. Just the body. The life has not been flown into Adam alayhi salam. And now Iblis looks at this. And he thinks to himself, why did Allah create Adam alayhi salam? Another creation, and now he begins to feel insecure about himself. Perhaps this creation will be better than me. So how does Iblis react to that? Well, as I mentioned earlier, how was the negative way to deal with feelings of jealousy and envy? Well, to look for faults in the other person. And that is exactly what Iblis did. Because in this narration, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet tells us that he began to observe the body of Adam alayhi salam. And he found the body of Adam alayhi salam to be hollow at this point. And then he realized, عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ, that he has been, he realized, he knew that this is a creation that Allah created that would not have control over their nafs, control over themselves. And by the way, this is not a human problem, this is also a jinn problem. right? That when our desires get the best of us, we may lose control over our own nafs. And so then he knew, Iblis said, ah, this is how I can bring Adam alayhi salam and the children of Adam alayhi salam down. So what did he do here? He looked for a problem. He looked for an issue. And once again, this is how we deal with those feelings of negativity a lot of times. But what was the outcome for Iblis? Well, he had those feelings. He hadn't acted upon those feelings at this point. He just felt that he is better than Adam alayhi salam. He felt that Adam alayhi salam has this problem and that problem, as we said. He said, he looked at Adam alayhi salam's body and thought to himself, oh, this creation is nothing. This is a creation that would not even be able to control their own nafs. They would not be able to control their own desires. So now he began to feel what? I am better than him. He didn't even verbalize this. But when the time came, when he was tested, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him and the rest of the angels that were present in that gathering, that when Allah blew life into the body of Adam alayhi salam, Allah instructed the angels, commanded the angels and Iblis to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And Allah tells us, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All of the angels fell into sajda. The sajda is worship to Allah in this moment. The angels, in an immediate act of obedience to Allah, immediately fell in obedience to Allah, fell in sajda. إِلَّا Iblis. Except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. He became arrogant. He refused. And he became arrogant. Now, where did the arrogance come from? Did it pop up one day? Did one day this act of disobedience come from nowhere? Because this is a serious act of disobedience. Allah ordered him to make sajda. And he not only did not make sajda, he refused to make sajda. And later, actually, in this story, we learn that he felt like he knew better than Allah, and he blamed Allah and all these other problems. But that huge act of not only disobedience, but we learn this is an act of kufr, an act of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that took him out of the fold of Islam. Where did it come from? Did it just pop up one day that he became arrogant and he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارَ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ That you created me from fire, you created him from clay. That, you know, he's been created from clay, I've been created from fire, I'm better than him. No, he did not come out of nowhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَسْتَكْبَرْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ That have you now just become arrogant? Or were you always viewed yourself above everyone else? And that tells us the lesson, my brothers and sisters, is that when we have feelings of envy and jealousy, if we don't deal with them in a healthy way, in a productive way, eventually we're going to act out on those feelings of envy and jealousy. And that's why we may have, subhanAllah, a well-known public figure. You know, we live in America, celebrity culture is huge here, actors and sports stars and all that kind of stuff. And we look up to these people as a society. Why? Because, you know, they're popular and they're famous and they're really good at, you know, basketball or this or that. But we look up to these people until the day comes where they are caught on camera doing something that seems very arrogant. Until the day comes where they turn to a waiter and say, why did you take so long to bring my food? Don't you know who I am? How dare you? And then as a society, we look at this person and we're shocked. What happened? How did this person, we viewed this person to be so amazing. How did this happen? Well, this didn't happen just now. This whole life, the person's whole life, and for a long period in their life, they've been treated as if they're better than everyone else. They have been given preference over everyone else. And then eventually, the nafs succumbs. The nafs themselves, with our own nafs, we begin to feel we are better than others. Someone attains a degree and they get a job that pays a lot of money, and they're praised for that. There's a graduation ceremony, right? And then they begin to make a lot of money, and then they're getting all this praise. MashaAllah, you're this and you're that and you're that. And then eventually we begin to believe that we are better than others. Just like Qarun, Allah tells us in the Quran. He said, when the people of Qarun reminded him to be balanced in your approach, that, you know, Allah has given to you, but this is from Allah, so earn your place in Jannah with what Allah has given to you. What did he say? إِنَّمَا أُتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي He said, I have been given this because of my knowledge, because of what I did. Arrogance, right? And so if we don't control those feelings, eventually, we're going to believe the hype. Everybody says you're amazing, you're awesome, you're great. Instead of saying, no, whatever I have has been given to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever Allah gave me, Allah can take away at any moment. That yes, Allah has given to me, and I should praise Allah for this. I should thank Allah. I should give back because Allah has given to me. Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. The people of Qarun said to Qarun, be good to others as Allah has been good to you. You want to make shukr? You want to give thanks? Allah has given to you, so be good to others as Allah has been good to you. And in response was a response of arrogance. So once again, my brothers and sisters, the point is, if we don't keep those feelings, number one, in check, if we don't deal with those feelings of envy, jealousy, hasad, why has this person been given something? And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we only think of this sometimes, by the way, when we talk about envy and jealousy, we think of it as wealth only. And even the example I gave is money and cars, but it's not always wealth. It could be a position that someone has been given. It could be family. Allah has blessed somebody with a good family. Allah has blessed someone with a good spouse or with good children. And we compare our children to their children and we begin to believe, why has Allah given it to them? And once again, the problem, this vicious cycle continues. We begin to look for faults in what Allah has given to them. Inshallah ta'ala, in the second khutbah, we'll talk about healthy ways, inshallah, to deal with these feelings of envy and jealousy. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters, I have three quick points for you. Obviously, Jumu'ah khutbah is a short time. We don't have too much time to get into this. The one thing I'll say before I get into these three points is that this is something that we do need to spend time on. We need to spend time on purification of the nafs, purification of ourselves, purification of the heart, as we spend time in perfecting our acts of worship, making sure we're praying five times a day, and all the other acts of worship. We need to spend time in purifying our hearts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, my brothers and sisters, understand that our perspective is always limited. We may look at someone and say, Allah has given to them, and why don't I have it? Because that's what hasad is, right? That I wish I had what they had. The reality of what Allah has given to someone, we don't know. Because oftentimes, sometimes Allah gives to someone and we may think, I wish I had it. But it may be that Allah is testing someone with what Allah has given to them. You know, we talked about a job, we talked about a house, we talked about whatever, fame, popularity. It may be that Allah is testing them through that. And so maybe Allah didn't give it to us because Allah wanted to save us from that test. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Certainly your wealth and your children are a trial. Wealth or children are two of the big things that we may, you know, look at other people and say, I wish I have what they have. And so Allah says it is a trial. So perhaps when Allah has not given us something, it is a time to make shukr. It is a time to thank Allah that we have been saved from a certain test. Number two is that dealing with the feelings of negativity, dealing with the feelings of envy and jealousy in a healthy way. And we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, mentioned the Mustadrak al-Hakim, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you see something that someone has, or see something that your brother has, then what you should do is see something that your brother has that you like, then you should ask Allah to bless it for them. And what that means, as you say, may Allah bless what Allah has given to you. And that is in direct opposition to what the shaitan may be telling us. The shaitan is telling us, why does this person have it? They don't deserve to have it. And the sunnah, the Prophet teaches us that not only do you not feel that way, but you say, may Allah bless what he has given to you. And some of our scholars even add to that. And they say that you should say, may Allah bless it and give you even more. Allahumma zid wa barik. May Allah increase and may Allah give you more. Why? Because when you make dua for someone that you are feeling jealous towards, that immediately counters the feelings of negativity. That immediately, those feelings of negativity, by the way, feelings of envy and jealousy, are a burden upon our soul. It is hard to live like that. It's hard to live feeling envious and jealous of others. And the irony, by the way, of feelings of envy and jealousy is that instead of working on ourselves, we spend so much time focusing on the other person. Like if we really wanted what someone else has, instead of working to also attain what Allah has given to someone, we spend our time focusing on that person, finding their fault, as I said in the first khutbah. So, my brothers and sisters, make dua for the person. Ask Allah to increase them and bless what Allah has given to them. And the beautiful thing is that when we make dua for someone, the angels make the same dua for us. So it's a little bit of a loophole. That when we like something that someone has, we say, may Allah bless you and increase you, because we're also making that dua for ourselves. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, is gratitude. Is being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have been given. Because no matter how much we think that other people have more, every single human being has something that Allah has given to them that there would be other people who would say, I wish I had what they had. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you tried to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to do that. And this ayah is referring to everyone, the rich and the poor, the able and those who are not able, those who have a lot and those who have a little, because even those who have a little have a lot to be grateful for. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us grateful servants. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not try us with matters that we are unable to make it through these tests. Allahumma ameen.